in the society more on that today. Text number 20 onwards, 20 to 23. Again we'll recite. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prakritim purusham chaiva vidyanadi bhavati vikaram shagunam chaiva vidhi prakriti sambhava karya karana kartrutve hetu prakriti rupchate purusha sukha dukhana bhoktrutve hetu rupchate purusha prakritistohi Bhunte prakriti jan guna karanam guna sangasya sadasatyoni janmasu upadrashtanu mantacha bharta bhokta maheshwarah paramatmeti chapyukto dehesmin purusha parah. So we will read that. Text 22-23 again, little more we will discuss today. The translations. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. Yet in this body there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the super soul. So last week we were discussing on the enjoyership of the living entity. The whole sum and substance of Krishna conscious philosophy can be put in a nutshell. It's about giving up enjoying mentality and reviving our serving mentality through the transcendental wisdom. The whole thing is about that only. So we are hearing so many classes, participating in so many different kinds of spiritual activities, ultimately to come to this point. You know, I can read something, you will see how much Prabhupada stresses on becoming a servant. This was in 1976. I often used to wonder, his one is Radhanath Swami Maharaj speaking a lot on acquiring the mood of a servant of the servant. So Srila Prabhupada exhibited different moods at different times. Sometimes he was in a mood of smashing the scientists. Sometimes he was in the mood of smashing Mayavadis. Sometimes he was exposing the pseudo-religionists. Sometimes he was exposing the Sahajiyas. Sometimes he was defeating the voidists. There is no void to be found in any part of the universe. Defeating the void is. Although you find Prabhupada doing all these things, you will find Prabhupada also giving a great emphasis on acquiring the mood of a servant, giving up the mood of an enjoyer. So, I would like to read some section of the conversation. Yeah. These are lectures that Prabhupada gave in 1976, Mayapur. See, Prabhupada is saying, disease is disease, Prabhupada is saying. Actually, that's a fact. You say that we are suffering from malaria, it is better than to suffer from syphilis.
No, disease is disease. Similarly, either Brahma or the ant, the disease is how to become master. This is the disease. Therefore, Krishna comes to cure this disease. He says plainly, rascal, you are not master, you are servant. Surrender unto me. This is the cure of the disease. If one agrees, no more trying for becoming master. That is the cure of disease.
Bhunkti Pakriti Jan Gunan.
One has to give up that. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Nijabritya Parshvam, engage me as a servant of your servant. So, this Krishna consciousness movement means we have to give up this nonsense idea of becoming master. This is Krishna consciousness. We have to learn how to become servants. Not only servant, but the servant of the servant. That is the cure. So, in this way, you see in this conversation that Prabhupada explains spiritual life means to change our mood and activities from enjoyer to servant. You know, maintaining the mood of master in spiritual life is very contradictory. Just like it's like lighting fire under water. You can never light fire under water, it's never possible. So one can never become Krishna conscious when one is in a mood of dominating, exploiting, enjoying in that mentality. So this mentality is not very difficult to understand. We all can see in our own system. Like I found in the temple once, one of the brahmacharis was, there was an arc lamp given to everyone and it was kept in the window. So this fellow went and he was taking the heat and, you know, he was using it for warming his cold body in winter season. So what is the arati lamp given for? The arati lamp is littered with, you know, fire so that it can highlight the beauty of the Lord. Isn't it? You know, the effulgent face of the Lord is shown by the pujari, and so that all the people taking darshan may see the beautiful eyes of the Lord. Like you see the Susrod Balaji temple we had gone. They showed the face of the Lord. You know, they show the hand of the Lord, you know, showing his lotus feet. They show the navel, they show the feet. You will see in South India, even Ranganath temple, they will highlight different transcendental limbs of the Lord's body to the devotees. So we are supposed to beg the Lord to give us the vision to see his beauty so that we may become attracted to him and not be attracted to the glittering illusions of this world. That is the purpose of the arati lamp. And after that, the arati lamp is brought to everyone and we touch it and touch our eyes. The purpose of touching our eyes is these eyes are naked eyes, they are blunt eyes, and they cannot see transcendental beauty. So Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Patagami Bhavatume, please give me the eyes to behold your beauty. That's why we touch it in the eyes and we touch it on the head for blessings. So I was laughing to myself seeing this, somebody touching the fire and he was touching like all over his body, touching the heat. So he was exploiting the lamp of the Lord to serve his own body and senses. You understand? His enjoying mentality. Same thing we can see. Like I had gone to another temple, everyone was given charanamrit. So one fellow brought a vati with him. You know, he's throwing a vati and saying, give me this vati full. And that Prabhuji said, charanamrit is little for everyone. So these are practical examples of self-serving mentality or enjoying mentality. We can easily see. This tendency crops up in our heart. That's what Prabhupada is saying, you are not the master, you are the servant. So as long as we have this enjoying mentality, even within spiritual life, we cannot make any advancement. See, this is another lecture Prabhupada is saying here. Prahlad Maharaj said, if you kindly want to give me some benediction, make me the servant of your servant. This is an actual benediction. One who has learned to become the servant of Krishna's servant is perfect. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi Shunichena Tadodapi Sahishnuna. The servant has to tolerate. Sometimes the master orders so many things, so the servant becomes disturbed. But still, he has to execute and tolerate. That is perfection. So, it is easier to agree to serve God directly than to serve his servant, God's servant.
Vrijan Prabhu says that. Because the servant of God requires humility. Something. If you see Prahlad, for example, Prahlad was tortured by his father ruthlessly. And that his father tried to mercilessly butcher him by various ways. And then when his father himself was killed, Prahlad went to the Lord and prayed, "My dear Lord, my father became antagonistic to you. He considered you his enemy because you killed his brother. So because of that he considered you his enemy. So he wanted to kill you. And he also tortured me in so many different ways, which does not cause any pain to me, but it causes great pain to your heart because you cannot tolerate the offense committed to your devotee." So Prahlad Maharaj said, "But still, despite all these things, I request you, please forgive him and liberate him. Please do not punish him." So Prahlad Maharaj requested. So here we see the example of Prahlad praying to the one who tried to kill him, praying for the welfare of his enemy as a pure devotee. So Prabhupada says, you have to become a servant like that, you have to be tolerant. And then Prabhupada is saying here, another lecture. So Prabhupada is here talking about Rukmini writing letter to Krishna. Subsequently he is saying, "Every one of them were king's daughter. They were not ordinary person's daughters. But they wanted to become maid servant of Krishna. This is the idea, to become servant and to become maid servant. Every woman should try to become maid servant of her husband. And every man should try to become 100 times the servant of Krishna." What does it mean? You have to become Krishna's servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the 100 times the husband should become like that. After that, the wife should become maid servant of the husband. This is Indian civilization. Not that husband and wife, we have equal rights. That in Europe, America movement is going on. Equal rights. That is not Vedic civilization. Vedic civilization means that the husband should be sincere servant of Krishna and the wife should be a sincere maid servant of the husband.
So here also.
See, very interesting point Vrijan Prabhu makes here. He says, Prabhupada pointed out that Western women would rather act as equals to their husbands than as assistants. So Prabhupada another place gives the example, the husband is like a manager and wife is like a secretary. Prabhupada gives that manager secretary example. So the secretary always assists the manager in doing many difficult tasks. Similarly, the husband's devotional service should be assisted by the wife. He equated that mood with our dissatisfaction with the servant role and our impossible desire to become master. Although the wife should think of herself as a servant, the husband should not think of himself as her master. Krishna is the master, and both the husband and wife should peacefully adopt their appropriate roles as servants. So this is a very deep point. He says, according to the Vedic life, the wife should consider herself a servant of the husband and serve him. But what should the husband not think?
I am the master.
That he should not think.
Like that.
That point Prabhupada makes. He should consider himself servant. There is another lecture of Prabhupada. Here he says, master mentality is Maya. There is no such thing as becoming master. It is useless. You cannot become master. Jeeva Sarubhoi Krishna Nathadar. Either man or woman, everyone is servant of Krishna. We have to be trained up in that platform to become the best servant. Not only servants directly, but servants of the servant. The purpose is, Krishna Bhulya Jeeva Bhogavan Sakare, Pashate Maya Tare Japati Adare. As soon as you become puffed up, now I shall become master. I shall be simply giving order. I shall not follow anyone. That is Maya. So that disease is going on, beginning from Brahma down to end. Our institution is for that purpose. If somebody comes here thinking, so it's going on really strongly today in the master mentality. Be careful. All the GPCs should be careful that this mentality may not increase. Everyone should be very eager to serve and to learn how to serve. Then life will be successful. This is what I was telling. That our pursuit of becoming a master
our very strong pursuit is there in our life to become a master. That makes us slave of others. And even if you somehow very tactfully avoid becoming slave of others, we end up becoming slave of our own senses. See here. Everywhere you see it, people work day and night, but the purpose is how to become master. They cannot become master, but their ambition is how to become master. How to become the richest man. If a woman dresses like a man, does it mean that she has become a man? Yeah, a woman is still a woman. A man is a man. Simply by changing dress does not change the fact. Similarly, our constitutional position is to serve. And to serve whom? Krishna. That is our constitutional position. But falsely we are trying to become master. Therefore, instead of becoming master, I have to become servant of my senses. This is our position. And the tongue is asking, so here Baba is giving an example, see, very nice example. Why don't you come to this restaurant? And then you may say, no, no, my belly is already filled up. And the tongue is saying, no, you must come. And then you will see a man is coming from home after sumptuously eating. As soon as he comes to the street, immediately enters the restaurant and drinks a cup of tea and a few biscuits. Why? What is the necessity? You are already filled up in your belly and still again immediately you are eating. And then you say, no, it is very palatable. So you are a servant of your tongue. So Prabhupada gives an example of how we become servants of our senses. We want to become master. So even if we are able to avoid serving others, we fall to serving our own senses. No one succeeds at becoming the master. So these are all practical, very nice. So I was seeing 1976, Prabhupada has spoken these things. If Prabhupada lived another 10 years, whatever we are hearing from Radhanath Swami, we may be hearing many similar lectures, I think. Prabhupada started speaking about servant to the servant in 1976, after his disciples had come to a certain platform of maturity. So, that is the whole sum and substance of our text number 22. Bhunkte prakriti jan guna. I again took these two verses because certainly something has to be said more about this. Upadrashta anumanta cha bharta bhokta maheshwara. The Lord says, I am the anumanta. I am the sanctioner of all actions in this world. So there are many people in this world who blame God for all the bad happenings in this world. They say, why there is murder? Why there is hypocrisy? Why there is so much suffering in this world? So we don't think there is any God in control. If God is in control, these sufferings cannot be there. This is one category of people. And then there are other categories of people who say, God must be a very cruel person or a sadist to want to see all these types of sufferings in this world. Otherwise, how can he afford to sanction all these sufferings? Like, you know, one Christian father's son got a disease called as progeria. When he was a small boy, he contracted the disease. So the father came up with different kinds of theories to, I think his name was Kushner, I think. Kushner, yeah. So he came up with many theories. He said, you know, God is all mighty, it's three things. God is all powerful, and God may be all powerful, but he is not all merciful. Because if he is all merciful, he cannot cause such a thing to my son. So that's what he thought. And then he said, if he is all merciful, certainly, but there's a possibility that he is not sufficiently powerful to cure the disease of my son. Isn't it? So, or if God is all powerful and he is also all merciful, only thing is he is not knowledgeable about everything in this world because he has created too many things. He can't know what is happening where. Isn't it? So, many Westerners come up with various theories about the sufferings in this world. So, in this connection, we are going to discuss three things today. Chance, free will and destiny, which is very important for us to know. Because there are many people talking a lot about it, especially in the modern context, modern times. So some people say, in this world everything happens by chance only. So there is some very nice conversation of Prabhupada. He spent practically 2-3 days conversing with the disciples on this bogus chance theory. So these are actually conversations which Prabhupada had with some of the examples Prabhupada says here you can note down, so that if somebody argues about chance, you can crushing chance. If you have this book, this is page number 129. This is my glorious master Vibhurjan Prabhu. Page number 129, crushing chance. It's in Kobe, Japan. So here, this is a conversation. One comes in, Prabhupada argued with devotees that chance does not really exist. He explained how a man's necessity arises. So here, the process that induces the article is to come is not chance, but Krishna's supervision as super soul. Here it comes. Upadrishta Anumanta. Krishna sanctions, otherwise things cannot happen. Because ultimate cause is not directly perceivable by a materialist, they foolishly name it chance, not God as the cause. So who is the cause of all actions in this world? Krishna is the cause. But people think everything happens by chance. So Prabhupada is saying here, you see. Matta smriti jnana pohanam cha. God is in everyone's heart, a super soul. Now I am thinking of getting something. So God knows immediately that he wanted to have this. So he gives me the necessary thing which appears to me as chance. Just like I am hungry, I want some food. So Krishna knows that if you want this, somewhere or other the food comes to me. So it is arrangement of Krishna. But I see it as chance. I was hungry and by chance food has come. Like scientists say that, you know, because we have something called as hunger, automatically the, you know, that necessity has created the grains and the fruits. That's what they say. But Prabhupada is saying, how? It's not a chance, it's a plan. Then there were devotees arguing. He's saying, they say, well, it's my luck, my bad luck. And Prabhupada is saying, so this luck, as soon as you say luck, there must be somebody who is giving you the luck, good luck or bad luck. There must be a giver of your luck. Because God's omnipotency is so subtle, we can't see how things happen. Therefore, we say it's chance. Chance of some physical arrangement. Just like in the airport, you know, in the airport there is a door, and as soon as a child stands there, the door opens. Yeah? And then you go inside and the door closes. So is it by chance? How it happens? There is arrangement, prior arrangement made. You know, there is a photocell. You stand there and it blocks the photocell path. Then it opens. You go and then again the path is connected, so it closes. By spring action it closes. So that arrangement is made. A foolish child may think, you go and stand there and it opens, because I have come, it opens automatically. Yeah? That's what a child thinks. Foolishly. He gives that example. Purposing. We are saying chance because we do not see how the working is going on. And then he is saying, ordered events occur not by chance but by arrangement. See, Prabhupada is saying, the proprietor is living there in the house. The servants are living there. This is a very, very powerful example. This example. He is giving here example. In a house, if you take, there is a proprietor of the house. Then there are some people who are servants. Then there is also a dog. There are some rats and cockroaches also living in the same house. So if you take a bungalow like that, the proprietor is eating very nice, fine food, isn't it? He is eating basmati rice, nice and chapati, puffed up chapati, nice hot sabji coming from the kitchen. So he is a proprietor eating. And whatever is left behind, some of the best items may be finished also. What is left behind is given to the servant. And servant also eats. And some portion of the food servant keeps here and there, and the rats get that. Generally after it gets stale or something, the rats eat that food. And even what is left behind, some one or two grains is left for the ants. After 4 or 5 days the ants may get that. Isn't it? Although all these people are residing in the same house, why one man is getting such nice food, but the other people are not able to get different things? So here Prabhupada is saying here, you see. The servants are living there, the cats and dogs are also living there, the trees and plants are also living there, the insects and microbes are, and snakes and rats. So many living entities in the same building. But why they are different? What is the answer? They have been given the same chance of living in the same house, born in the same house. As the proprietor's son is born in the same house, these are also born. They also are taking birth in the same place. Why they are denied the same advantage? And if they are denied, who has denied it? What is the answer to this question? They are all living entities, Burijan Prabhu saying. The difference is that the human living entities have higher intelligence because of their body. Prabhupada. That is the question. Who has given you high intelligence and not to the rats and cats? Pradyumna. You said in one place, man is the architect of your own happiness and distress. And Prabhupada saying, yes, that's an axiomatic truth that even by modern man. So, as soon as there is work to make your fortune, then there must be a person to decide to give you a fortunate position. Just like an establishment, so many men are working, but there is a president. He is considering the work file, how this man has worked, and he is being promoted, his salary is being increased, and somebody is degraded, no promotion. Rather, somebody is transferred to another place. This is another example he is giving. Like in a company, somebody is given promotion, bigger salary, somebody is demoted, somebody is laid off. All these things are done. Similarly, Prabhupada is saying, somebody is given a rat body, somebody is given a human body, somebody is given a servant's situation. So these are all sanctioned, anumanta. Prabhadrishta? Anumanta, the sanction is given by the superstore. That's why they are in different position. They are all not enjoying the same benefits. When there are so many varieties of life in our presence, and although in the same place, they haven't got the same facility. So there must be somebody who decides on this point. So how can you deny God? Our point is the Supreme Person, the President, who decides on this fact, He is God. What is the opposite answer, Prabhupada is asking? Pradyumna is saying, they would say, Prabhupada, that you are in your position and they are in their position just by chance. Again, He is bringing chance. And then Prabhupada is saying, this is nonsense. This is sheer nonsense. There is nothing by chance. What is the chance? By chance one is becoming a millionaire and by chance one is becoming a cockroach. What is this chance? We have got this nice apartment. Is it by chance we got this apartment? Pradyumna is saying no. Then Prabhupada is asking, then? And then Burijan Prabhu is saying, Albert Einstein said, I cannot believe that the highest material principle is chance. He is a material scientist. He said, I cannot believe. Prabhupada is saying, yes. Actually, one is learned, scientific, he must admit. He must admit, unless he is a lunatic rascal, he will say all these nonsense things. Why chance? What is taking place within your practical experience by chance? If by pre-arrangement we did not come here, then who would care for us? Even on the street we could not lie down. Nobody would allow. The police will arrest. Hey, who are these men? How do you say chance? So what he is saying here, if for example one day, if you are not prepared, you are going to another town or city, you are in the road, you will not be allowed to even lie down on a road saying that, you know, by chance I came to this place, I will stay here. You will not be allowed. Police will catch you and drive you out from there. You have seen that? They do it in different places. So everything, Prabhupada is saying that everything is pre-planned. Now I am sitting in the train now. Now I am in S2, in SC2 bogey, sitting in seat number 84, near the window seat. So is it by chance? Because I have taken a ticket. It is pre-planned. It is pre-arranged in advance. That is his point. We got up on the train and the train is running, and is it all chance? There is a huge management behind the train, therefore we are comfortably seated and we come to the destination right on time. Shyamsundar Prabhu saying, their answer is that there was a necessity to go to the city, so we would have tried hundreds of different ways to come here, and by chance eventually we would have found out a train. He is saying our necessity is to go to the city. There may be different ways. We can go by walk, we can by flight. One of the ways is to go by train. So we had a need. So this train was there by chance and we came here and sat. purposing. No, we have not tried hundreds of others. There was a plan. The purposing. The rascal says that I am trying in so many ways. One of them succeeds by chance. But I am not working in so many ways. We had a plan to come here to preach. So according to that plan, we arranged with this man. And it is not by chance. It's all prearranged. Where is that? I am trying this way or that way. We are going to preach. There is a plan. So our men go before my reaching there. And they make nice arrangements. Nice apartment. Then they receive me. These are not chances. These are all prearranged plans. See? Anyway, this is very nice conversation, beautiful. So, and then Prabhupada here he says, at one time, here is another very interesting example. One morning, Shyam Sundar was walking with Prabhupada. A steep decline dropped left off the dirt road. To the right rose a hill topped with rows of pine. There are pine trees standing. Prabhupada said, just see, Prabhupada showed. Said Prabhupada, pointing with his cane. All trees are facing sun. And then he stopped to observe and allow the point to sink in. There is nothing that is chance in creation. Prabhupada continued. Evolutionary theory is nonsense. If chance is law, then why at least one tree is not pointing away from the sun? This is about the change, yeah? They are saying survival of the fittest, by which the evolution takes place from one species to another, because the change takes place. Change is different from chance. Change is another theory. And they say one of the species could not, survive in the conditions of it adapted. Prabhupada saying all the trees, why are they pointing in only one direction? Towards the sun. Why only one of them is not in the opposite direction? If evolution theory has to be true, there has to be change in at least one situation. So, of course, I don't know how many people have this kind of question about chance, but there are people who argue that things happen by chance. But if you carefully think in our life, nothing happens by chance. Everything is pre-arranged. That's Prabhupada's argument. Everything is pre-arranged. Everyone is put in a situation which is pre-arranged. So there are some people who know about destiny, because you hear about destiny, you know destiny, right? Fate or destiny, we say. About which we hear even in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is destiny? You are ordained to achieve something in life and not achieve something in life. Some amount of sukha, dukha. That is predestined, as we say. My Prahlad Maharaj gives two examples in Bhagavatam, 7th canto. He says, somebody may go to the market yard and while buying some things, his purse may slip off from his hips and fall in the middle of the road. So there is a purse with practically 5,000 rupees. Yeah, he has left the purse there. And then he comes back to home. And then at home, his wife tells him, where is the purse? He's searching everywhere. He couldn't get it. Then he goes back to market. And he finds hundreds and thousands of PMT buses are going, and people are walking here and there, cycles, cars, rickshaws are going. And then he goes to the place where he was buying things. And in the neighborhood, he's searching. And then he finds the purse is still lying there. So many people are going to and fro. Nobody has touched the purse. So, this example is given in Bhagavatam. Why? Because if you are destined to get that money back, you will get it anyway. Nobody will. People have eyes, they see it also, but they can't see the purse. Somehow it is hidden from their vision. Like that. On the other hand, he says, somebody stacks lot of rupee notes, money in a bureau, thoroughly locked. Practically they have 8 lockers. One locker and second lock, third lock, fourth lock, fifth lock, everything, and they lock. And they also close their door, big gate of the house, putting a beware of dogs. And they close the steel door, and they're sleeping in the night. They're keeping a chabika gucha, key bunch, and in between they get up. Wake up in the night, somebody is stealing my key. They're fearful. But you'll find suddenly a thief comes in the night, despite all these things. Somehow he enters into the house, God knows how. Sometimes he comes. Nowadays they have laser beams. They can cut anything with laser beams nowadays. So he enters the house. At a gunpoint he tells him, escort me to the bureau where you kept all the money. This fellow has to do that, otherwise he'll be shot. So he himself takes all the key and opens and shows all the money to him. And he carries all the money and he goes away. That's it.
So money protected so carefully in a bureau can be taken away by a thief. And the purse that falls in the market yard in a very busy day will not be taken by anyone. That is destiny. He gives his examples. So he gives another example of a sickly man, like a person who is very sick but is very rich. He is admitted in the richest, admitted in the biggest hospital and administered the costliest medicines. Kept under the custody of one of the top professional doctors, who has won several awards. So still such a person dies pathetically. You can see that many times. On the other hand, you find there are children born in the slum in very dirty conditions. They live near the dustbins and gutters, or they live in a chal or something. You may think, this place is infested with so many dirty, polluting things. There may be some epidemic in this area. And the child is very plumpy, hale and healthy. He doesn't get any disease many times. So he is talking about destiny, how destiny is powerful. Now, understanding destiny has an advantage and it has a disadvantage also. Can somebody say what is the advantage of understanding destiny and accepting it? Somehow I will get the things and you may tend to become lazy. These are fixed in my life, so anyway they are going to come. So I can tend to become lazy in my life and not work hard. Because everything is destined anyway. Like Prahlad Maharaj says, no, sarvatra labhyate daivat yatha dukkam ayatnatah. Ayatnatah. Kuch bhi yatna kiye bina apne aap cheez tumhe mil jayega. Without any endeavor you will get things in your life anyway. Ayatnatah. Yatha dukkam ayatnatah. Just as dukkha comes in your life, without you are going to temple of God and praying, oh God, give me dukkha, nobody prays, but still they get dukkha. Correct? Anybody prays to God for dukkha? But are they getting it or not? Abundantly they get it. So he says, in the same manner, don't worry about sukha, that will also automatically come. So don't worry about it, don't chase after it, he says. So that can make, this is called a fatalistic philosophy. Fatalistic means one can put the blame on fate and become lethargic and lazy. That's the possibility. This is the disadvantage of disadvantage of the destiny, understanding of destiny. Like sometimes you go to a village, you find there's a char sandhi or a art sandhi, road is there. You know, there is some kind of mandap kind of thing, and there are some men simply sitting there playing cards, or sometimes reading newspaper or discussing politics in a tea shop, drinking tea in the morning. Some sons don't do any work at all in villages, if you see. His father has earned a lot of money and kept. So the fellow is just eating and sleeping. You can see that like that. They don't do. So in India, sometimes you find in certain places people become fatalistic. They put the blame on fate. They say, "Arey, you know, whatever has to happen, will happen. Jo hoga, acha hi hoga. Jo ho gaya, abhi acha ho gaya. Jo hone wala hai, ho gaya. Acha ho gaya. Sita saar." Isn't it? So they may put the blame on destiny and they may tend to become lazy. There is a great possibility of this. So that is a bad side of destiny. What is the brighter side of destiny?
Well, one, if you can understand the destiny, then he will say anything, even if I endure hard or even if I endure just for the need base, I will get what is this time. So better I not endure more.
He is saying, whatever I may endeavor, I can't change the things much. So better I not endeavor for accumulating too much. Let me better focus my time on Krishna consciousness, he is saying. In this connection, Prabhupada gives the example that, you know, for example, somebody has a, you know, old ambassador car, which, you know, your grandfather used, you know, and then your father used and now you are using it. It makes lot of sound, but the maximum speed it can go is only 40. Makes sound, you know. But it doesn't go beyond 40. On the other hand, if somebody has got a new Santro car, and they're driving, naturally it will be very faster, isn't it? Similarly, two people having two different type of cars, the speeds will be different also according to the, you know, conditions of the car. Similarly, Prabhupada says somebody is destined to have a certain type of body. See, somebody is a farmer, somebody has a certain type of intelligence,
somebody has certain profession. Another person is born in another place, you know. So the two bodies are compared to two cars, one the old car, one new car, or whatever. And so they can't change the situation much. When you drive these two cars on the road, one is going to go fast, one is going to go slow. And that is destiny, that's meaning of destiny. No matter how much you exert, exertions are useless. And destiny is inevitable. It is said in Mahabharata also. So we understand that, you know, as you rightly said, the brighter side of destiny is Indians are satisfied people. They found out who are the happiest people in the whole world. First prize went to Bangladesh. And Bangladesh, if you go and see the conditions, there is more greenery, more coconut trees and more pukurs in Bangladesh. Everywhere lush green forests. You find that more thatched cottages. You hardly find a building. The maximum number of floors I have seen in Bangladesh is 3 floors. Three-story building maximum. America has 200-story and all buildings, 150 stories. So in Bangladesh, that is the situation there. And you feel, you see people always with a smiling face, happy people. They got number one in happiness index in the whole world. India stood 3. India stood 3rd rank. America got 48th rank. Yeah. You can see that. So the understanding of destiny also makes us happy. Because you understand that, you know, see, one who is a coolie in the street will be coolie, and one who is Tata will be Tata. You understand? A coolie never endeavors to become Tata. He is happy with coolie job. You can see coolie is also very happily smiling. You have seen that? Because they know destiny philosophy. They know that. They know that, you know, there is no point, you know, wanting to become Tata. They are not crazy. They are realistic people. So it makes you realistic. Learn to live with the inevitabilities of life. So that's very important also. There's an advantage to destiny. Now, it's important to know what is this free will and what is its connection to destiny. Because some people, there is another big disadvantage of destiny understanding, wrong understanding of destiny. People can put the blame on God and destiny and become irresponsible in executing their duties also. They may say sometimes, if you tell a person, hey, why are you drinking like this, why are you smoking like this, why are you irresponsible? They will say, everything is destined, you know, God is destined everything. What can I do? If this is what is destiny, it does happen, it will happen anyway. Don't blame me, they will say. So in this way they can push the blame on destiny and not own responsibility for their actions. That is the greatest curse. But there is nothing wrong with their philosophy of destiny. The mistake is with their misunderstanding of the philosophy of destiny. So there is nothing fallacious with destiny path. Because it's very clearly said in the scriptures that destiny and free will, they go hand in hand. There is nothing destined in your life without you being offered free will. For example, you have taken a ticket to, say, to fly from Pune to Calcutta. You have taken a ticket. Now you are going to the airport. You are seeing the plane standing there. So still you have the chance, you know, not to board the plane, correct? But then you see that I have taken the ticket, I want to board the plane. Now you walk towards the plane, you board it, the door is closed, and the plane takes off. Now do you have any freedom? Absolutely no freedom, in one sense. Because once you have sat in the plane, that plane has taken off. So inevitably you will be led to Calcutta, and that cannot be changed. The reaction of your taking ticket and everything, it will take you to Calcutta. And you have to land there in Calcutta only. But within the plane, you find you have abundant freedom. For example, you can sleep off throughout your entire flight journey, isn't it? Or you can keep yourself awake. And when the stewardess comes to, you know, air hostess or somebody comes to serve you something, you can refuse the item, I don't want anything to eat. Or you may accept something. Like, for example, once one ISKCON sannyasi was sitting in the plane, and there was a Buddhist sitting by his side. So the stewardess came with food and everything. So she asked him, what do you want, sir? You want veg or non-veg? And he said, non-veg. Then immediately our ISKCON sannyasi, he didn't keep quiet. He turned to him and asked, sir, you are a follower of Buddha, Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. That is the policy of Buddha. Then why do you want non-veg? Why are you not taking veg? So the Buddhist was telling,
you see, we are sadhus, we have to accept whatever is available. you know, we should accept, we should not demand things. But then our responsibility was no less. He said, okay, that is a good philosophy, whatever is sent by God you have to accept. But here you are given a free choice, veg or non-veg. You see, this, the very word veg or non-veg has some amount of cunningness attached to it. What is it? Why did you say you want veg or flesh of fish or dead corpse of a goat? Why didn't you ask like that? Which one you want? So by saying non-veg, you are sanitizing the cruelty to the animal. You are sanitizing it and you are saying it in a polished way.
They don't say meat and non-meat.
Yeah, they don't say meat and non-meat. You don't say it's a veg and non-veg. Looks very nice, isn't it? So, then the Viscount Swami was asking him, why don't you take veg? The Buddha advocated non-balanced animals. Why don't you take veg? Then this Buddhist Swami looked at him and staring for some time, and then he turned. And he took his plate and was eating non-veg. So, our Viscount Swami was telling us in one lecture, just see this fellow, he is misusing his free will. Although there is destiny that you have to go from Pune to Calcutta, you can't land anywhere in between. But still you have the free will, what to eat and what not to eat in the plane. Whether to sleep or to keep yourself awake. Whether to read some rubbish cinema magazine that they supply you in the flight, you know. You can see dirty pictures and pollute your mind. Or you can read Vishnu Sahasranama Sutram. You can be reciting by Krishna and Prabhu. Isn't it? You can sanctify the atmosphere and sanctify your heart if you want. You have the freedom, isn't it? While you are in the plane. And also you can stand up and walk within the plane, or you can sit in one place. And if you create some trouble in the plane, as soon as you land there in Calcutta, they will take you to police. Isn't it? Or instead you can sit in the plane and make friendship with your neighbor, and your chemistries may gel with one another nicely, and he can become your business partner, and both of you may set up a business in Calcutta which may flourish like anything. So you can do that. So within the destiny there is also free will. You can easily see that. Purva janma arjita vidya, purva janma arjita dhanam, agre davati davati. So whatever vidya and dhanam, wisdom and wealth that one acquires now, it is because of the punya from the previous life. That one has acquired in the purva janma. And one gets that now. And when one gets it, what is it allotted to you for? That's very important. Na sadhu manye yathatmanoyam asannapi klesha ashadeha. Rishabhadeva says this. You see, the janma, aishwarya, shruta, shri, these are all given to you so that you can become Krishna conscious by using these things in Krishna service. Like, you know, you are given wealth, you should use the wealth in Krishna service. You are given intelligence, use it to study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. You are given a high birth in a good family. So you should use that good birth to lead a pure life of sanskaras. Like that. Not that he says the same thing should not be taken for noonam pramatta kurute vikarma yadindriya preeti apranoti sadhu manye yathatmanoyam asannati klesha ashadeha. Beautiful verse, Rishabhadev. He is saying noonam pramatta kurute. Matta means mad. Pramatta means sufficiently mad. Pramatta kurute means the living entities in this world are sufficiently mad, he says. Why? Because yadindriya preeti apranoti. Indriya preeti means sense gratification. Indriya preeti means for the satisfaction of the senses, what they do? That which is akarma. That which is vikarma. Unam pramatta kurute vikarma. It is vikarma. Yadindriya preeti apranoti. Na sadhu manye. This is not at all fit for them to do. Because Lord has given them wealth not for enjoying wine and women and wrong things. Lord has given them wealth for using in Krishna service, but they are misusing it. Which is done by their free will. So, what is destined and what is not destined, we have to know. What is destined? Your wealth is destined. Your intelligence is destined. Your bodily pigment is destined. And whether you will be born in a high class family, low class family, that is destined. These are all destined. You will be thin or fat or short, you know, short or stout. You will be educated or uneducated. These are all destined. Yeah, amount of quantum of happiness and distress. There is also destined.
But what is not destined is, utilizing these resources, how will you, I mean, how are you going to utilize them? That is in your hands only. Which will decide your future destiny. Based on that, your future destiny is made. So we have the free will. Now somebody may say that my choices are also influenced by my conditionings. You may say that. Like for example, you are saying that I have the free choice, I agree. But my free choice is also influenced by my past conditionings, because I have strong conditionings from the past which influence my current choices. For example, the conditionings are the habits. Past. Yes, it's very true. But you have again the free will to put yourself in good association where you will not wrongly exercise your choices. You can put yourself in good association. For example, if I have a bad habit, but by putting myself in good association, I will not indulge in that bad habit. So, if you very carefully think, we will see that we have the free will always, at every moment, at every point of time. So, Srila Prabhupada gives a very interesting example to illustrate this vital point. He says, it's all a question of consciousness, he says. He says, the astrology, the destiny, the karma, the three modes of material nature, the sensual desires, all these things can influence your body only if you are in bodily consciousness, otherwise not. Like, you know, we blame the astrology or the conditionings or the three modes of material nature, or destiny, karma, or our mind's disease, sensual disease, all these things can influence our body only if we are in bodily consciousness, otherwise not, it says. Which means, we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. To the degree you act as spirit soul, these material influences cannot influence you. Because material influences influence only the material body. They cannot influence the spirit soul. That's the whole point. So we have to realize, I am not the body, I am the soul, and be in that consciousness, then we will not be influenced. For example, Prabhupada is giving the example here, I told you. Like a guru is sitting on the Vyasasana, and a bug is also sitting on the same asana. But what is the consciousness? You know, the bug is thinking, how can I climb on the thigh of the Swamiji and bite him and drink his blood? He's thinking like that. And Swamiji is thinking, how I can give lecture to the people and transform their consciousness, isn't it? So he is in spiritual world, in consciousness. So both these people are there, right on the top of Vyasasana. The Swamiji is respected as the representative of Vedavyas, while the bug is driven out from there, isn't it? Because both are in two different consciousness, correct? So what matters is consciousness. If one is in the spiritual world, one is considered to be in the spiritual world. If one is worshipping the Lord, one's consciousness is absorbed in Krishna, it's very much possible, Prabhupada says, to elevate one's consciousness. So in this way, we can avoid these material influences on the individual very easily. Recently, I got a question in my mind for which I was referring to Prabhupada's books to find out an answer. You all have heard this famous verse, Deva Rishir Bhuta Apta Ninam Pitrinam Na King Karo Nayam Rini Charajan Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Kato Mukundam Parikrita Kartyam. So, this verse, I had a question in my mind. How is it that by serving Krishna, you can, Prabhupada calls it as a one-stroke method. In one stroke, you can do away with all your debts. So there are many debts we all are supposed to pay in this world. As the devatas are giving rains, they are giving the sunlight, they are giving grains and water supply, air and everything. So we are indebted to the demigods also. We have to do the deva puja, deva yajna. Then we have to do the pitru yajna. Who are the pitrus, our forefathers? Who have handed down very carefully the morals and values and spiritual principles in the family, which has been coming down in our family, and today also we are seeing from the mother and father. So we are indebted to all the forefathers. There is pitru yajna also we have to follow. Similarly, we have mothers. One of the seven mothers is cow, who is giving us milk. Actually, we have debt for all the seven mothers. So one is supposed to fulfill the debt for the mother. Then one is also supposed to fulfill the debt to the relatives and friends. For example, when you say society, it's a symbiotic society. Symbiotic means there's a mutual help that people give to one another. Like you conduct marriage in your home, other people come. When they conduct marriage, you go to their home. Like that. Like, you know, when somebody faces a trouble in society, then other families and relatives come to help them. Yeah. What do you call it? Community living. So naturally you have debt towards all those people who have shaped you and who have been instrumental in helping you and your family. So bhuta, apta, nranam, pitranam, all these people you have debt. But he says, if one becomes a Krishna's devotee, in one stroke all these debts are finished, he says. So how is it, Prabhupada explains? I read in this Bhagavatam, Lavat Canto, I think that's the... Yes, in the conscience. Now we are coming to the point. For example, why he doesn't have any debt to the demigods? Your Krishna's devotee thinks, I am not the body, I am the soul. And the soul hails from the spiritual world. And my relationship is with Krishna. And Krishna says, whatever the devatas are giving, that also I only have given them. Correct? He says, what is that verse? Yes, one verse. He says that, no? Mayaiva vihitan hitan. Mayaiva vihitan hitan. Whatever hit or whatever benefits they are giving the living entities, I only have given them and they are giving it. Because those souls don't love me so much directly, they want to go to demigods, then I tell the demigods, okay, I'll give it to you and you pass it to them. I only have given. So a devotee realizes this, that Krishna is the ultimate master of all masters. So he worships, he has no debt to the demigods. And he has no debt to the forefathers. You know why? All the intelligence that the forefathers had with which they gave, handed over morals and values and spiritual principles and everything, that intelligence also is supplied by Krishna only. It is Buddhir, Buddhimatam Asmi. So we worship Krishna's intelligence as ultimate. Like that he says. Similarly he says all the relatives, friends and other living entities like the cow giving milk, bull helping us to plough the field and all that, they are all getting all the strength from Krishna only. Balam Balavatam Saham, Shabdakke, Paurusham Rasho. Ultimately Krishna is the cause, the essence and source of everything. All the three. Krishna, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu means he is the source of everything. And Krishna is the essence of everything, he is the cause of everything. So understanding this, when a devotee realizes this point in his heart, then one can worship Krishna directly and is not obliged to any of the other people. But a very important point, to the degree a person is bodily conscious, to that degree his obligations are also there and all the material influences also will act on him. Like the karma will act on him, navagrahas will act on him. So depending on one's bodily consciousness. But if one is spiritually conscious, then one will not be influenced by all these things. One can easily transcend everything. So that's why sometimes you find even in a devotee's life, suddenly that destiny brings forth some terrible suffering in their life. Somebody gets an accident, they break their hand or leg, or somebody gets a deadly disease. So there may be some serious destiny awaiting us. We don't know, good or bad. None of us don't know the future. That may happen. But before that destined result of Calcutta comes, between Pune to Calcutta, which you were telling, in between all of us have the chance to utilize the in-between time to do Krishna consciousness and prepare for our next life. And even if the inevitable destiny comes and knocks us, what can we do? Like that's why Parikshit Maharaj said that famous verse. What is that verse? Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra Ganga cha devi dhachittamishe Vijopasrishtas kuhakastakshakova Dashatvalam gayata vishnugatha. He says, Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra. Oh great brahmanas. Ganga cha devi, I am so fortunate that I am sitting on the banks of the holy Ganges. Ganga cha devi dhachittamishe Vijopasrishta. Whatever snake, bird or whatever the creation of, the magical creation of the Sringi Brahmana, the curse that he gave, let that be created by him. And Vijopasrishtas Kuhakas Takshakova, Takshaka, his name is Takshaka, right? And he says, Dashatvalam, let the snake bird come and bite me. I am not at all fearful, he said. Why? Gayata Vishnu Gata. All of you sing the glories of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. As long as you are doing that, this biting of the serpent has no meaning. because I would have already transcended the body, and in fact he indeed transcended. So the snake is biting the body, but the soul is free from the body. Soul is above the body, soul is transcendental. So the Parikshit soul had entered the spiritual world while the snake was biting his body. It's like beating a dead snake. It has no meaning actually. So the material influences cannot touch the soul at all. Yes, completely transcendental. Yes, divine transcendental. So we have to know that the Lord is a sanctioner of everything. And that is very important for devotees also to know. Why? If you don't remember this fact that Lord is a sanctioner of everything, we will lose gratitude. We lose gratitude. And if you don't have gratitude, we can't have humility. If you don't have humility, then we cannot advance in Krishna consciousness at all. Now, what are the things that Lord is sanctioning us? For example, a devotee's heart is like this. If some happiness has come in his life, a devotee feels, oh, I don't deserve this happiness at all. I am such a puppy. But still, the Lord has sent forth this happiness, which I don't deserve. It is only out of His sheer mercy. He knows, if He doesn't give some doses of happiness, I will run away from Krishna consciousness. So He keeps giving me some doses of Krishna, doses of happiness. So one should be very grateful for what Lord is supplying. At the same time, one also, when suffering comes in one's life, one should know, this is also sanctioned by whom? Krishna only. I am suffering now, and the suffering is sanctioned by Krishna. So in this way, we can see the hand of Krishna in our life. And when you see, it is Krishna giving the suffering, it is very soothing to heart. Why? Like for example, your mother, you know, slapping a child, and a police whipping a pickpocketer, is it the same? There's a big difference. Your mother is slapping a child that you are not studying. She may give a pinch or a slap to make him study. And the child knows, mother is angry with me because I am not studying. And it is not very severe. But when police is whipping with a belt, it's really severe. That is Maya Devi. Maya Devi beating the living entities is really very strong. So with a trishul. Whereas Krishna punishing the devotees is not like that. Krishna is such a kind master, sometimes without giving much punishment, He purifies the heart of the devotees. Like you see how He purified the heart of Indra. Without giving any punishment, He lifted the Govardhan hill and humbled him. Lord sometimes purifies His devotees in that way. Sometimes He purifies devotees in a strong way, like He danced on Kaliya's hoods and brought out all the poison and blood, and through that vomit He purified him. Because different people get purified in different ways. Some learn it a hard way, some learn it a easy way. If you surrender, purification will be easy. If you don't surrender, it will be very difficult. Then we have to learn it a hard way. And every one of us individually, with our connection to the Supreme Soul, we all can realize this fact, what I am telling you. Like how many of you have detected in your heart that I have certain strong conditionings due to which I am refusing to surrender? Okay, thank you for your honesty. So, now because of our refusal to surrender, we are also undergoing frustration, correct? And it will be proportionate to our lack of surrender. You can easily see that. If you surrender, it will become very smooth and easy. Of course, then in such a smooth Krishna conscious life, if sufferings come, like it came in Prahlad's life, then that is for a different reason. Krishna may give sufferings to a pure devotee to glorify the devotee or to help others learn some lesson. But generally, a pure devotee who is surrendered to Krishna, Krishna uses him as an instrument very nicely in his hands. So we have to remember this Anumanta, Lord is the sanctioner. When morning you are sitting with a plate and prasadam falls on your plate, you have to be so happy. Krishna, I am so thankful to you for offering this prasad. There are so many people who don't eat for three days in India, you know that? Who die out of poverty. And they are getting, if you are living in America, your message, your news for the husbands. In America, people keep food in the fridge for 2 weeks. They don't cook every day. It's only in India you get hot food in the morning and hot food in the evening. It's cooked. Here, anybody keeps in the fridge for 2 weeks? Here, any Mataji? I don't think anybody does in India. In America, it's very common, I heard. He's saying, ask Prabhuji.
Hot or fresh?
Both.
Actually, Radhaswami used to come, the afternoon when we eat prasad in the temple, he'll come and touch the buckets and see whether they are hot. I learned that habit from him only. He said the prasadam should be served hot and in time and clean. Three things he used to say. Maharaj is saying it should be clean, there should be no hair in the food, or no chinti. There should not be any, that ali, they call it, the black one. Sometimes it comes, sometimes in the suji and all it comes. So it should be served clean. I think it should be that. And it should be served hot also. It should be served in time. Like that. Maharaj used to say this. So, it's certainly destiny that, if Krishna is the Hanumanta, he has permitted us to eat. Like say, if somebody has a paralytic attack, the hand doesn't move, he cannot take the food and put it in his mouth. So if you are able to take our hand and put it in our mouth, God is sanctioning it. He is always, remember that. He is only giving us the strength of the body. He says, Paurusham Drishu means what? I am the ability in man. I am the ability, he says. So, we can be thanksgiving for everything. For the food he supplies, for the air that we breathe. How much air we breathe? Without air we will not even survive. The water that we drink, and the comforts that we are enjoying in this world, everything is actually supplied by Krishna. Although destiny is supplying it, Krishna is behind the destiny also. Some people are foolish. They think, like karma mimamsaks, what they think is, the ultimate thing is destiny. God is also below it. They think like that. Even Krishna and Rama are subjected to destiny. Some people think like that. In that connection, there are so many foolish examples that karma mimamsaks give. That the Lord did something in the previous life because of which he suffered now. That kind of bogus philosophy they give. But actually, Lord is not below destiny. Lord is the controller of destiny. He is above. For example, if you have a ball which you throw on the wall, and the ball comes, bounces back, isn't it? For every action, there is a equal and opposite reaction, we say. But you also have to remember the fact that there is a creator of the ball. There is a creator of the wall. And there is a creator of the law, who has created the law in such a way that, if you throw the ball, it will come back to your hands. Isn't it? That person is certainly above the three things, which we said. Now, if he wants, he can even change it also, isn't it? So, immediately, for example, he changes the ball into a steel ball, and he changes the wall into a magnetic wall. So, you throw it, it gets stuck up there. It doesn't come back only. He can do that, because he is the creator of everything. The Lord is above. Yeah, magnetic, yeah. Yeah, that is the Lord only creates, isn't it? So, for example, Lord changes devotee's destiny many times. You see, Arjuna was about to enter fire after he could not kill Jayadrath, isn't it? Lord just took his chakra and blocked the sun and changed his destiny, isn't it? That's the thing. Sandipani Muni's son was taken away by Yamaraj, he died. So after finishing their education in Sandipani Muni's ashram, Krishna Balaram went to their spiritual master and asked, please tell us, how can we offer you some dakshina? Then Sandipani Muni went to his wife for consultation. These are very brilliant disciples and they are personality of Godheads, both of them. What kind of dakshina should I take? So in Vedic life, husbands consult wives, it's very common. That's why the wife never started a Mahila Sangha in the Vedic time. So is why they both consulted and discussed, and then they understood that, we should not ask for a small gift from him. Because otherwise it will be a humiliation, You cannot go to, very rich man and ask him for 10 paisa, 20 paisa, You have to ask something really difficult. So they contemplated and found out, we have to ask something which no one can give. Then they asked for their son. Can you bring our son back? And then you will see Krishna goes to Samyamani, he blows the conch shell. It is said when he blew the conch shell, all the Kumbhipak fires, they all doused completely, they all became cold. And Lord's conch shell was blown. And all the living entities who were suffering in the hell, they started feeling bliss. Even in the hot pot of oil, when they were being fried, they were feeling like air conditioner. Krishna went. So, then Krishna brings the son of Sandipani Muni back. He did such a miraculous thing. So Lord can change destiny. He even brought the sons of Devaki back, correct? Yeah, so Lord can do this thing. So Krishna is above destiny also. He can change people's destiny. So, Anumanta means he's a supreme Anumanta. There are many immediate Anumantas there. For example, for a boy, if a boy wants a toy, you know, he has to ask his father or mother. They are immediate Anumanta, you know. And the father will give him a toy only if his boss in the company gives him the salary for that month. Otherwise, he cannot give toy to his son. He is a little higher Anumanta, isn't it? And higher than that, there are also devatas who are controlling the destiny of the person. If they cause a big loss for that company, you know, for the 4 months, then the salary cannot be given. So the demigods are superior Anumantas. But the highest Anumanta is the super soul. That's why it is said here, Upadrishta Anumanta. Lord is sanctioning it. He is the permitter. He is the one who actually offers us the destiny. He is the one who is offering. Not only is he the awarder of the destiny, he is also a person who can relieve us of our destiny also. He can avoid destiny or he can relieve us of something that is destined for us by burning away our destiny. God can do that. He has the ability. Because he is the bharata. He is the maintainer of every living entity. Like we say, nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, yeko bahunam jo vidadhati kama. One who is the maintainer of all the living entities, including all the species. He is the father of not only human beings, he is the father of trees, he is the father of plants, aquatics, bees, birds, everything, every living entity. The maintainer. And he is the witness, he is the overseer. So in this way it's very important for us to know that nothing happens by chance and everything is pre-planned and organized and avoided. It's like you see, the kind of grains that we eat, the fruits that we eat, like we made one comparison in our Essence of Bhagavata book, you will see. Indian government and universal government. How many of you have seen it? Yeah, half of you have seen it, yeah. Others haven't seen it, you can see it. I think it's in the fourth or fifth page of the Essence of Bhagavata book. There we are making a one-to-one comparison of how the Indian government is being run by Prime Minister of India. In the same way, the universal government also is being run. Like in Indian government, there is a military force offering protection to the in the borders, isn't it? Otherwise, Pakistanis will come inside to attack Indians, isn't it? So there is a protection. Similarly, for the earth, there is an ozonosphere protection. You know that? Which protects the UV rays, ultraviolet rays from coming from the sun. They offer protection like that. So we can find many similarities, one-to-one similarities between Indian government and universal government. Amazing similarities. Indian government, you have medical doctors and supply of medicines. In the universal government, you have Ayurvedic herbs, jadi butti and all that. So we can make almost a dozen comparisons. Actually, I read it from some Prabhupada's conversation. I got it from there, here and there. I collected them all and put together and made this table. Very interestingly. So it's very important for devotees to perceive Krishna's hand in everything. Otherwise, we cannot be Krishna conscious. It's not possible. We have to always be appreciative of Krishna's hand in everything, right from the time we get up in the morning. Up to the time we go to sleep in the night, we have to be conscious of how Krishna is coming in our life in various ways. How he is arranging wonderful situations. Have you seen many devotees say it's Krishna's arrangement? Correct? They say that because they see Krishna's arrangement in their life. Krishna has arranged it. So very thankful. So even for attaining that gratitude, state of gratitude, we have to understand this verse. Lord is witness. And also when suffering comes, to know that Lord is aware of it is so soothing to the heart. Because if I know Lord is aware, and I also know very well that there is no one above Him. That means if He is aware, no problem. If He only wants me to suffer, I will suffer. If somebody is insulting me, and at the same time I see that Krishna is watching that insulting, then I don't feel so much pain. Isn't it? Imagine that if I don't see Krishna watching it. Because why? Our eyesight is such that we can only see the present, isolated from the past and future. Whereas Krishna can see the past, he can see present and he can see the future, isn't it? So, we know that, okay Krishna, if I am suffering and you are watching me suffering like this, somebody is insulting me, that means that's what you want me to suffer or enjoy. No problem. So, this verse is very powerful. Upadrashta. God is witnessing all the activities. So, as one blossoms in Krishna consciousness, gradually the aspect of Krishna witnessing will become more and more prominent in the heart. One will be able to see Krishna witnessing the individual. That's why Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra, Sarvam Samayi Pashyati. He says Krishna in every situation, in every walk of life, at all times. There is no other distraction to drift his consciousness away. So these two are very important verses. That's why we dwelt on it for a longer time. Srimad Bhagavad Gita.